Are you ready, Alabama?
All the band is out on the field!
The band is leaving the field.
And one time, at band camp,
loved the drum.
Man, I do love my drum.
If you say that's what she said one more time, I'm gonna pop you.
You're welcome to join the doghouse.
Oh God, I'm so sorry. I keep doing that.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
Be a dog.
The clock starts on my whistle.
How you doing?
It's time for the second half of the Tom Abraham Show. Here he is, the head of the household. Here's drum major Big Dog. It's Tom Abraham.
We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, all right, this week, but I'm not.
And welcome back, second half of the Tom Abraham Show. We're going to get going here with Jordan Bianchi in just a moment, but there is a story that is out there that we'll continue to flesh out and get your thoughts on a little bit later on. But according to an ESPN report, Auburn basketball coach Bruce Pearl is refusing to cooperate with the university's internal investigation of the basketball program. According to the report, it says that Bruce Pearl has been uncooperative with the school's internal investigation. And he has been advised by university officials that his job could be in jeopardy if he does not cooperate. Pearl has not spoken to the attorneys conducting the internal investigation, according to the report, and the school has not been able to determine whether or not Pearl committed any wrongdoing or was involved in any NCAA violations because the FBI seized his computers and cell phones as part of the ongoing investigation. It's just that's not a real positive thing. I'm just going to say that's not a real positive thing. Jordan Bianchi joins us now, where he does a tremendous job. A very positive thing is the job that he does covering NASCAR for SB Nation. Jordan, welcome back. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. I'm glad I'm not covering the SEC basketball scandal right now.
You've never had the FBI seize your computer and cell phone, have you? Because, I mean, I would think that would be below average. You know what I mean? If the SEC sees or if the FBI starts seizing your stuff, probably not a good sign.
No, I would be lawyering up really quick. That's for sure.
You would be non-cooperative. I mean, your job at SB Nation would be, you know, in jeopardy probably. Yeah, if you were trying to hide stuff.
I can imagine the only reason that Pearl probably isn't talking to the school is that his lawyer advised him not to say anything to incriminate him.
All right, that's hello, Kevin Harvick, right? I mean, you know, we go through all of this stuff, points, stage, all this other crap, and what do we got? We got Harvick, we got Bush, we got Martin Truex Jr., and would somebody step up to fill out the Final Four? I mean, you know, at the end of all of this, it might not be a surprise in the bunch, huh?
No. I mean, you've got three of the best four drivers of the season. Obviously, Truex and Kyle Busch have gotten a lot of attention this year for what they've done. Kyle Larson is number three.
That's the surprise.
He's already out of the playoffs. But
yeah,
if you were looking at the totality of the season, consistency, top tens, everything else, Harvick's probably been the fourth best driver this season, maybe fifth. And the guy that has a chance to join him, Brad Keselowski, has been really good as well, very consistent. So the Final Four at Homestead has a chance to be quite excellent, you know, featuring some of the best drivers of the season, which is what this system is supposed to be about.
But this deal at Phoenix now could be really salty because now you got, you know, there's the other five vying for the one spot, right? And stop me if I'm lying. I'm going to say that Chase Elliott and Jimmy Johnson, one of those two dudes has got a win to be in, right? I mean, they're going hell bent for leather. Yep. They got they're checkers or wreckers to get into to Homestead. Keselowski has got to kind of play it a little bit smart. If Elliott or Johnson doesn't win, Keselowski, Hamlin, or Ryan Blaney could still make it on points, correct?
That is correct. I mean, if you're Jimmy Johnson or you're a Chase Elliott fan, your driver has to win Sunday at Phoenix to get in. They are not moving on. There's no scenario conceivably where those guys can move on without a win. It just, that's just the reality of the situation.
How are – well, we know Elliott hasn't won anywhere yet, although he has run near the front. How's Jimmy's record at Phoenix? I mean, is that a place that's been kind to him in the past? Because he hasn't run well for half the season, it seems like. There's nothing that would make you feel like all of a sudden Jimmy Johnson's going to win a race. But just when you count him out, he'll win the last two and be the champion again.
Yeah, Johnson's record at Phoenix recently is spotty, and they did a repave at that track, reconfiguration repave, in about 2012. And since then, Johnson's just been okay there. He hasn't won there since. Denny Hamlin's won there before. So if you're looking at Jimmy Johnson and say, well, you know, he's going to have a good run there, it doesn't look like it. And actually, you mentioned Chase Elliott. Yes, Chase Elliott's never won a race before, but in the spring, he was leading. He led over 100 laps there, and he was in contention to win. If there wouldn't have been a late caution flag, he probably would have won the race. So it may be a little bit of a surprise you could pop up and win on Sunday, but he does have a track record of success there that shows that maybe it's possible. But it comes down to it. It's going to be Hamlin, Keselowski, Blaney vying for that last spot more than likely. And whoever can have the best, most consistent day is probably going to walk away with it. And it's probably going to be Keselowski because he's got that points cushion. And if something doesn't happen to him, he runs good enough there. He's consistent enough. He's got the speed. He should be able to lock up that spot.
And that would mean two Fords and two Toyotas. And you can say all you want that it's all stickers, but the manufacturer does mean something. Elliott and Johnson is Chevy's only chance, Hendrick's only chance to get into that deal, right? You got Keselowski and Blaney running Fords, and then Denny Hamlin in another Toyota. And I would think that NASCAR would just as soon it be two Fords and two Toyotas and not three Toyotas and one Ford.
They would like to have a little bit of parity. I mean, ideally, they probably wouldn't mind the Chevrolet in there as well. You can appease all three manufacturers that way. But this, you know, you talk about how it's the stickers, and it's not really the case in a lot of sense, because Ford has spent a lot of money to bring over Stewart Haas Racing and Kevin Harvick for this sole idea of we want to have as many drivers eligible for the championship as possible, because they don't have the same number of teams as the Chevrolet does. And they brought over Kevin Harvick this year, and Harvick has rewarded them. And now he's going to be in the final four, and they would really like to see another Ford there, because it is Ford Championship weekend at Homestead, and it's important for them to have that manufacturer there, because a couple of years ago, there in 2015, there wasn't one single Ford driver there, and that irked Ford to the point they went out and recruited Stewart Haas Racing. So there is a little bit of manufacturer pride in these guys and what they want to do and how they want to deliver a win to the respective manufacturer. And Harvick said as much in Victory Lane at Phoenix. One of the first things he said was, it is important we go out there and we want to help Keselowski and get him into the final four for Ford. And that's going to bear over this weekend.
Wow. That's, he's not supposed to say stuff like that, right? I mean, because then that would indicate that, all right, if you're doing that, you know, what is Earnhardt going to do? And you know, what are they going to do there to Casey Kane? You know, he doesn't care. He's leaving Hendrick anyway. But you wonder whether or not the Chevy guys will band together to try and help one of them Chevys get into the show. I mean, you got to be careful with what you say there, because then, you know, the Toyota's going to help Denny Hamlin get in and so on.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a fine line. And you go back a couple weeks ago at Martinsville Speedway, and Brad Keselowski was leading that race with, like, 12 laps to go, and he was well far ahead. And what happened? His teammate, Joey Logano, didn't get off the track when he had a flat tire, tried to nurse it, and ended up causing a caution that ended up costing his teammate the win that he needed. So there is certainly a fine line between wanting to help your teammates and hurting them, and there's certainly a delicate balance there.
Yeah. Speaking of Ford, maybe the worst kept secret of the silly season, Eric Almirola gets the Danica Patrick ride, right? I mean, everybody saw that coming, and he's bringing Smithfield with him, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a deal that's been in the works for a long time, and there were some complications with the sponsors and when it was all going to be pieced together, but this is no surprise, and it gives them an interesting lineup next year where you've got Kevin Harvick, who is obviously great at what he does. He's a championship contender. Busch won the Daytona 500 this year, and he is a contender as well. But then you also have two drivers in Eric Almirola and Clint Bowyer who really haven't done a whole lot throughout their careers. Bowyer's had his moments, obviously, but in the last few years, he hasn't been very competitive. And for an organization like Stewart Haas, it says that, you know what, it was important for them to get sponsorship that Almirola brought, because they don't have a lot of funding for all four of their teams. And if you look at the situation there, and you think, well, Matt Kenseth would be a perfect fit, but unfortunately Matt didn't have the sponsorship or the backing to make that happen, and this is why Stewart Haas Racing went with Almirola.
Is Kurt Busch staying in? Is that a lock? Is that for sure? Or because there was talk, I thought that he might be out there as a free agent.
Yeah, I mean, he's still technically a free agent. I would say it's probably 80% that he's going to return. Both Tony Stewart and Gene Haas, who co-own the team, have said publicly, we want him back. We think he's going to be back. Stewart today at a press conference said, you know, we're working towards it. All signs point to him, Kurt Busch, coming back. Something would have to happen, surprisingly, for him not to be back in that team, with that team next year.
Yeah, and it seemed like a lot of time. I mean, he look, it's the Monster Energy Series. He's the monster guy. It's surprising in a way maybe that they don't have full-time sponsorship on there, but that would be unprecedented. I mean, Winston didn't have a car, and, you know, you didn't have a sprint car when it was Sprint or Nextel before that. So really, you know, Monster to be on a particular car and be the series title sponsor is probably not the best way for them to spend their money. Since they're spending so much for title sponsors, they don't really need to have a car. So, you know, I'm wondering whether or not there's going to be any Monster sponsorship at all for him.
No, I mean, that's an excellent point. They're almost double dipping when they don't need to double dip, because if you sponsor the whole series, you can still use those pretty much any driver you want in your marketing platform. So there's no need to.
Right.
But Monster is incredibly loyal to Kurt Busch. They like him. They like his personality. The people who run the company are really big fans of his, and they're still going to have. They are adamant that they're still going to have a relationship with Kurt. And it's interesting to see, but Monster isn't it for sure that, A, they're going to come back and sponsor Kurt Busch next year, and, two, their long-term commitment to NASCAR is very much in question. They have to make a decision by mid-January whether they're going to return and continue as NASCAR's entitlement sponsor past the 2018 season, and there's a lot of question mark whether or not they're actually going to be around after next year.
I thought it was a five-year deal, so it was only a two-year commitment when they did it. That's not good for NASCAR, man. It can't keep changing the name of this thing.
It was a two-year contract with a two-year option, and Monster has that option, but they have to exercise it by January.
Yeah. I will say this. I wasn't sure if Smithfield's colors were petty colors, and that's why they continue to be that light blue. But seeing the Smithfield number 10 car that Eric Almirola will drive, that's a good-looking car. I mean, that's as good as that 10 has ever looked, including the GoDaddy days. I mean, black with the gold numbers, and that's a pretty sweet-looking ride right there. Is that a full-season sponsorship out of Smithfield?
That is a full-season sponsorship out of Smithfield, and I agree 100% with you about the car. It looks sharp. And I, too, it didn't kind of click for me.
Yeah.
At the press conference today announcing everything, they said, you know, we actually get to have our own colors on the car, because when they were with Petty has Petty Blue that they want to run, and so Smithfield didn't get that option. And they unveiled the car today with their own colors that they've had, and it looks sharp. It looks really pretty.
It's a good-looking car. Now, the thing is, it's a Fusion still. And, of course, you know, I drive a Ford Fusion, just like Keselowski's, without the numbers. It's white, you know, so it's like, other than the decals, it's exactly the same. I guarantee I got 700 horsepower in my Ford Fusion. And my son drives a Mustang. And, of course, that's on the Xfinity series. So I've got to decide how much longer before I start driving his Mustang. Because I drive whatever's on the, I got to drive whatever's on the Cup Series. He's got to drive whatever's on the Xfinity Series. So we know that Camaro is going to be in there next year. Very, very sharp Camaros next year for the Cup. When do you think, Ford goes to the Mustangs maybe instead of the Fusions in the, in the Cup Series?
Sooner rather than later. 2019, it wouldn't shock me. Because Chevy's going to the Camaro and they're kind of that muscle car look.
Yeah.
Obviously, Ford wants to keep pace, and they want to have a car that gets people excited. And if you could put the Mustang out there, that would definitely get people excited. It has it's a great looking car. It's kind of got that mean look to it. There's been some talk that 2019 might be the ideal. It depends if they can figure it out or not, but you're going to see it sooner rather than later.
Unless they bring back a Thunderbird, you know what I mean? I mean, they could Ford could bring me. They've been Hey, look, Camaro was gone before Pontiac went away. Trans Am was gone for a while, and then they came back with those. And you never know. They're liable to Ford is liable to introduce a Thunderbird, and then if that happens, what a great way to market it, by running it out there on a NASCAR circuit. What are you hearing about Dodge getting back in?
It's possible. There's a lot of rumblings about it. It's not going to happen next year, but if it happens in 2019, it would not be a surprise. There's some talk that Richard Petty Motorsports is certainly going to be one of the flagship teams for Dodge if they come back. even there's talk about Richard Childress Racing, which is a longtime Chevy team. They might be part of the Dodge program as well. There's a lot of smoke about Dodge coming back. They've expressed interest publicly. They have said they're interested in it. There's a lot of hoops to jump through. They're trying to figure it out, but it would not be a shock at all if they're on the track in 2019.
Jordan Bianchi with us, SB Nation, talking some NASCAR. Speaking of on the track, were you shocked or surprised at all how quiet Tony Stewart was the entire season as an owner, and that he wasn't more, you know, out there and more vocal? And now he's talking about maybe running a few road course races next year on the Xfinity side.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect. I mean, part of me is, you know, Tony's a very outspoken person, and he's going to give your opinion on things, and if you don't like it, that's too bad. But I also know that Tony wanted to get away from the spotlight. That's not, you know, Tony wanted to get away from NASCAR. He wanted to get away from the day-to-day grind that it can be, and basically kind of focus on doing his own thing, which is running sprint car races and doing other stuff with the team. So in that respect, I wasn't surprised, because he wanted to get out of the spotlight. He didn't want to be part of the show anymore. I think as his retirement goes on a little bit and Tony gets more involved in the day-to-day operations of Stewart Haas Racing and is at the track a little bit more, I think you're probably going to see him have more of a voice. But I think that's by design, and I think that's what Tony wants. It's going to be interesting to see how long that continues. But, in the end, I wasn't that shocked.
Yeah. And Matt Kenseth, you remember back when Mark Martin retired, he retired in any, like, he raced for the next 3 years after he retired. You know, he was always there, it seemed like. But now Matt Kenseth does not have a ride. I don't think he wants to retire. You know, it would seem to be that he wants to keep running, even though I think he's like 47 or 48 years old. No, 45. He's only 45 years old. I thought he was a little older than that. But he's older than, you know, the new age seems to be 43, 44 now that these guys have been bailing out. What are the chances of seeing Matt Kenseth, the former champion, on the track somewhere? Will he be the first guy that gets called up as a filling guy, if necessary, or is he done?
I think you nailed it with your point there. He is going to be the first guy that teams call if they need a driver. You know, someone is hurt or, you know, they're not performing well and a team needs to make a change for whatever reason, Matt Kenseth is going to be that first phone call. Matt doesn't want to retire. He's been very vocal about that. He has said numerous times publicly, I want to keep going. I feel like I have a lot to offer a team. I'm still competitive, which he absolutely is, and he's kind of hurt. He's very frustrated and hurt with how this whole situation played out, and then he's been basically forced, you know, to the sidelines because of his age and because, you know, teams don't have sponsorship and a lot of money to spend, and it really bothers him. He made some comments last week saying, you know, I thought I deserved better than this, and in a way, he probably does. I mean, if you look at his record, I mean, he's a former champion. He's won Daytona 500 twice. He's won every major race there is just about in the series. He probably does deserve to have a better ending to his career than he's going to get. And, you know, maybe this isn't the end, and maybe he comes back next year under some, you know, different circumstances. But there is also a very good chance that he's only got two races left in his career, and this is it.
And Ryan Blaney, this one wants to slip by me. Ryan Blaney is joining Penske, so he gets out of the Woods Brothers 21, which I thought was kind of a half a Penske car anyway?
Yes, that is correct.
All right, so he goes into a third Penske car, so they'll have the 2, the 22, and the what? What is Brian Blaney going to be running?
He'll be running the number 12 for Penske, and then Paul Menard's going to take over Blaney's spot at the Wood Brothers.
So what about the Menard sponsorship? Because that Wood Brothers has been a motorcraft car forever. I mean, they're not going to put Menards on the side of that car, are they?
They are going to have Menards in some of the races next year. Not all the races. Motorcraft is still going to have a lot of races on that car. And then Menards is also going to be on Ryan Blaney's car for some races as well.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. Yeah. So that goes. And what's happening to the 24? They killed the 5, right? They're killing the 5.
Yeah.
The 24 is going to be who? Alex Bowman?
Well, okay. So they killed the 5, and then 88 is going to be Alex Bowman, who's taken over for Earnhardt. Chase Elliott's 24 team becomes the 9.
Right.
And William Byron takes over the 24. So, all right, so that's basically how it's going to work. It's basically
so the 5 is the number.
So
the 5 is the number that goes away. That's a good number, too. 5 and 8. You know, we haven't seen 5 and 8 on the track. We haven't seen 8 on the track for years, and that 5 number will be out there as well. So we'll see what happens there. And Byron, and if they made a decision as to who is like Alex Bowman going to be in the same garage with Jimmy Johnson, like Earnhardt was, and then, you know, Byron and Chase will be in the same garage?
Well, what Hendrick is doing is they're getting away from that. They had the, you know, they basically divided their four cars into two separate teams, and they're getting back to an operation where it's just going to be four cars underneath one roof. Because if you look at Hendrick Motorsports, and they really haven't had a lot of consistency and high performance from all four teams. It's usually, you know, one or two of the teams are doing really well. The other two teams are kind of so-so. They want to have a model like Joe Gibbs Racing, where they had four teams, super successful, winning races, and championship contenders, and they feel the best way to do that is to put four teams all under one roof, have everybody work together side by side, and not have any division.
Okay. All right. So we'll see how it works. I mean, it's going to be Jimmy Johnson. He's going to feel like he's got nothing in common, and these three young guys, right? You know, they have three guys that are half his age, and Jimmy Johnson, who all of a sudden goes from, you know, you still remember him as a relatively young guy as being like one of the old men of the tour now. He's got a little gray in that beard. He might have to just go back to shaving and looking like a young guy. All right, one more week to go. I mean, next week we get to talk about the Final Four. So, you know, that'll be good stuff. I think this Phoenix race is going to be interesting. The only thing I'd say is Phoenix in, you know, Homestead, it's just not a lot of NASCAR juice there, you know, and this is where we're coming to this culmination, Phoenix and Homestead. I still wish it was, you know, Richmond and Darlington or something like that, or someplace, you know, where there was a little more juice. But, you know, we're getting to that time of year where you can't even race in the Mid-South. I mean, you're going to have to be in Arizona and Miami to find a place to make sure you got weather.
Yeah, it would be great to end the season or have another kind of Martinsville track, you know, short track, short tempers, and have, you know, everybody kind of go at it a little bit, a free-for-all. That would be a great way to end the season and decide the championship, but unfortunately that's not the case.
I've always said Darlington on Labor Day. You know, I'd like to see Martinsville like the week before, because this is going to be, I mean, you got five guys trying to get one spot. This could be really dicey, man, this thing at Phoenix. It's just it's at Phoenix, you know.
It's
got the potential to be pretty dicey. I'd like to see Martinsville's second last race and then Darlington, the championship place. You know what I mean? They don't do it.
I'd love
like
it.
That, yeah. And you can go to Homestead week two, you know. Go stay, you're in Florida, to Daytona, then go down to Homestead, then start working your way north or west or whatever you want to do. But what do I know? I'm only a fan for 100 years.
You're not going to get an argument from me. I like it. I'm on board.
Yeah, I hear you, man. All right, appreciate you as always, and we'll look forward to talking next week.
Sounds good, sir.
Talk NASCAR a lot more, a lot longer than a lot of all y'all want me to talk NASCAR, but, you know, there was a time. I used to host a one-hour NASCAR show, Race Night, with myself and Tim Pacman from NASCAR.com. We used to host that show together for two or three years, and we'd do nothing but racing for a one-hour show once a week. All right, let's get a break. Right here on 730-1039, The Ump.